Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joined by our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. Daryl, how's it going, man?
It's going. It's been a week, I can say that.
It's been so odd because, you know, Jarvis Landry spoke now three times this week, Sheldon Richardson and Jarvis in back-to-back days. What's the locker room like right now where people are chomping at the bit to talk to you guys when typically they're not really as excited to do that?
Oh, no. They still don't want to talk to us. You know, Sheldon Richardson even, you know, made a comment today. You know, I had asked him, you know, how everything's been going behind the scenes, you know, with all this attention that's on the team externally and the focus over what happened with Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph and the recent allegations made by Garrett and whatnot. And, you know, Sheldon said, hey, everything's fine until you guys come in the room and start asking questions about it. So
then not to cut you off here, but why did he speak again today? Why did Jarvis speak again today? They're not mandated to, right?
That's not necessarily true.
I thought my understanding was you just had to speak once a week.
No. That's not.
Okay,
not
I can be misinformed. So they were forced to speak today.
No, they weren't. We just they were kind enough to speak today. We approached them and
but they can say no. They can just say no if they've already spoke once, right? I'm not trying to give you a hard time with it.
You kind of are. I really don't want to get into the
that's
rules
fair,
of
and
what
we can,
media
and we can,
availability
we can move
is.
On from that.
It's immaterial. The point is that Sheldon spoke again today. And he understood. I talked to him afterwards again, and, you know, he totally gets it. And, you know, Jarvis had some strong comments today about how unfair he feels this process has been to Myles Garrett. So, but privately, when we are not asking the questions about it, I really do believe that they've been focused on preparing for the Miami Dolphins. They've been focused on filling the three gaping holes they now have on their defensive line and, you know, trying to, you know, find a way to win their third straight football game.
Daryl, how much confidence do you have in the offense to carry the defense without, you know, Ogunjobi, without Myles Garrett and Morgan Burnett?
Well, I think that the fact that they have Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, and what we've seen out of those guys these last 2 weeks certainly is room for optimism. Also, Baker Dustin has seemed to turn a little corner. Jarvis mentioned that earlier this week. His completion percentage is up, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. The Browns have stopped turning the football over, knock on wood. They have been able to at least reduce slightly their penalties. I know, obviously, the Pittsburgh game, the fouls shot back up, but some of the areas that they've had, you know, struggle with, they've been able to clean up. But to me, it comes down to execution, and it comes down to, you know, Freddie Kitchens and the coaching staff putting the offense in positions to be successful. Baker Mayfield recognizing opportunities for plays to be made, and then you know, the playmakers going out there and making those plays.
Baker's been good over the last four games, Daryl. 12th in yards, 11th in touchdowns, 22nd in passer rating, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception. Is he taking a different mentality now where it's just protect the football at all costs and then we'll work from there? Or like, what has changed over the previous four games that you've seen in a difference with number 6?
Well, I mean, if you ask Baker, he'll just tell you the results have changed. And, you know, he still feels like he's the same guy, from a mental standpoint, while he was going through whatever he was going through earlier this season when things weren't going as well, he still feels like, he's that same player. You know, Baker's starting to, you know, get some success, and I think that, you know, success breeds success. And, you know, they've been able to capitalize on some of their opportunities. To me, I think the area that they need to improve on is they need to improve on the hot starts and carrying those through the games. You know what I mean? They'll come out and they'll run their script, and it's real tight, and it's real good, and they just march right down the field. They put points on the board, which is great. And then they go into that lull late first quarter through the second quarter, and I think that that's what they really need to improve on is carrying that early momentum and maintaining that through the first half so they can really build upon and pile on some of these lesser opponents.
Hey, Darryl, I have a question back to Garrett for a moment. Do you think that he's going to be suspended into next season, or you think that they'll this offseason rescind that and just make it the final six games?
I thought that, and I said this originally, Dustin, I really think that the intent of that suspension, and I've not been told this. This is just my own personal thought. I want to make that very crystal clear. But I really thought that based on the language that the league used last Friday morning, that was with the intent to potentially carry the suspension into 2020 for some duration, whether that's another two games or four games or what. I felt like they really wanted to hammer Myles Garrett. They wanted to hammer the Cleveland Browns. They wanted to, you know, flex their muscle and show the world that they're the NFL and they're in charge and they're not going to tolerate that type of thing and they're just going to drop the hammer. And the ruling yesterday from James Thrash did absolutely nothing to dissuade me from that. Not surprised at all, Dustin, that the suspension was upheld indefinitely. Yeah. I think it's unfair. I do agree with Jarvis Landry. I think that the process was unfair. Not enough time was done to really truly investigate. I don't buy into the fact that all of a sudden there's no audio recordings or they couldn't find anything. I have a distrust of the NFL league office with everything that they've botched over the years. So I agree with Jarvis. I don't think that the process was fair. I understand why they came down heavy-handed. I'm not excusing what Myles did. He deserved to be suspended. I wish James Thrash would have come out yesterday with a definitive amount of games and said, we'll take off the indefinite suspension and you have to serve 10 games or you have to serve 8 games. Just so everyone has clarity, instead of forcing Myles to go back through another dog and pony show for the league to feed off and the networks to feed off and all of us to have to feed off when he has to go back to New York and, bow before the commissioner and plead for forgiveness and be allowed to play week one.
You mentioned Jarvis. His words were the NFL, quote, messing with Cleveland. That's strong words for a player to come out and go up against the brass that way. Were you surprised that he took such a hard line of stance to suggest that the NFL was singling out and picking on Cleveland in particular?
No, I'm not, and I certainly am respectful and appreciative of his candor. I'll give Sheldon Richardson some credit this week, too, because he was extremely candid when we spoke with him, and I won't criticize players for that because they could have easily just answered with short answers or I'm not going to talk about it, we're on to Miami and whatnot, and they were very open and honest about their thoughts, so I certainly don't have any criticism there, but I'm not surprised at the reactions from within the locker room either, because, again, I think that there's more. I personally believe there's more to the story that has not been, definitively, I guess, validated or whatever. Because Myles Garrett got punched in the face by a fan and just simply called the cops. You know what I'm saying? Something forced him to have that type of reaction. I just don't know what that is. And so I can't speculate on it. I can't talk about it. But I do believe something triggered Myles to have that reaction. That doesn't excuse the reaction. Certainly doesn't excuse, what he did. But something triggered him. His teammates, the coaching staff, the organization, top to bottom, support Myles. They support the league in the sense that they understand discipline has to come. You know, the price has to be paid for that action, but I really respect what I heard come out of the locker room this week as far as how his teammates have handled the matter.
Darryl, does 9-7 get you in the playoffs, the Browns?
I don't think so, Dustin. I'm still stuck on 10-6. It might. I'm not going to definitively say no. Absolutely not. It could. The last time the Browns were in the playoffs, they backdoored their way in at 9-7 back in 2002. They played the Atlanta Falcons, had a goal line stand, and I think it was the Jets game. We stayed at then Cleveland Browns Stadium. We stayed till like 7:30-ish or so, waiting for a game to go final to find out whether or not the Browns were able to get in the playoffs. And then, of course, we know what happened in 2010 when they went 10-6. I'm not confident that 9-7 is going to get it done. I think that they have to get to 10-6, which means they have no margin of error and they need to win out. If they get to 10-6, I do believe they're absolutely in the playoffs.
Does style points matter this week?
No, I mean, sure. I mean, you look at the Miami Dolphins and you say they're 2-8. They started the year 0-7. They look like the Cleveland Browns from 2016 to 2017, but they're a team that week by week has gotten better. And I know they lost last week, but they won their previous two games, before that. So now we get caught up in style points, and we certainly would like to see the Browns play well and see that offense really kind of get going and take off. The defense, I think, is going to struggle just because of all the missing pieces and parts that they have on that side of the ball, especially in regards to the pass rush game up front. But I think at this point, the only thing that matters is that final score and the fact that they win the football game.
Darryl Rotter, great stuff. We appreciate you. And, of course, everyone check out his work at 92.3thefan.com. I will talk to you Sunday before the game, but really appreciate you giving us a couple minutes, man.
You got it. Have a great weekend, guys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.